as we continue our study of hope, and we're building it off of Romans 5. You know, I was looking at this a little while ago, and it was kind of interesting because we were singing, "You Deserve the Glory." And in Romans 5, 3, he says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also." How many glory when you're going through something? Hello? Wait a minute. He says, "We glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us." And God wants us to understand, if it wasn't for the Holy Ghost, we couldn't glory in tribulation. And tribulation couldn't work in patience. And patience couldn't give us experience. And experience couldn't bring us hope. But the Holy Ghost, thank God we got a helper. Amen? I don't know about you, but I'm so grateful for the Holy Spirit. Amen? You know, that gives, guides us and directs us and the steps of righteousness for his name's sake, you know? And the Holy Spirit will always align with God's word. And if something is speaking to you and it's not aligning with God's word, it's not the Holy Ghost. You know? So when God speaks, he means it. So tonight, when we're looking at Psalms 130, it is for the Lord that our souls wait for the gifts of his grace and the working of his power. Okay? And the psalmist is praying here. And he's waiting on the Lord. How many is waiting for something from the Lord? Come on. We're all waiting for something. Amen. And the psalmist says in verse number 1, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." And this is where we're going to look at tonight, is I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. Amen. We all know that faith is the substance of things that we're hoping for, the evidence of things not seen. We know that our faith is coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But one of the things the Lord wants to speak to us tonight about is allowing the Holy Ghost to help us when we're waiting. Amen? So first, the waiting. And we're going to look at first, when we're waiting, to rest. I don't know about you, but I'm like a kid in a candy store. When I'm expecting something from the Lord, I've got a heart of expectation, and I keep looking and looking. And if anybody knows me, I care for everybody in the body of Christ, and I walk back and I look, and then my heart says, "Thank you, Lord, that they're here. Thank you, Lord, that they're here. Thank you, Lord, that they're here." And because it's the heart. But I personally, I'm learning how to allow the Holy Spirit to help me wait. Amen. And the key is to be able to rest while I'm waiting. You know, as a somebody that's probably got every initial that they give anybody, if they mark people with it all, because I'm a very hyper person. Amen. But to sit and wait and to patiently wait for the Lord, it takes a lot of help from our helper. And Psalms 37, the psalmist said this. He said, "Rest in the Lord," verse number 7, "and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." Now, sometimes when we get in this measuring ourselves with others. And sometimes we're measuring ourselves with people in the world, amen, and we don't understand why we don't have everything. But the word of God says the love of money is the root of all evil. why some coveted after, they pierced their souls. That doesn't, that God doesn't want us to prosper, but he also says, what does a man gain if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? And what would a man give in exchange for his soul? So what the Father is saying to us first is we have to allow the Holy Spirit to help us rest in that place of waiting. Sometimes we have a tendency, if we're not resting in the waiting room, we have a tendency to try to make it happen. And most of the time we cause more damage by trying to make it happen. I love that song that says, here I am waiting, abide in me, I pray. Here I am longing for you. If y'all would sing it, I wouldn't have to. Hide me in your love, bring me to my knees. I want to know Jesus more and more. You know, and that's what he is saying, and that's where we find our rest. We got to depend on the Holy Spirit to find, to help us rest. The second thing he said, spoke to my heart about, is to rest, we need to relax.
Chill.
And God says that he's given you and I, a Holy Ghost chill pill. All right? It's his word. And the psalmist says in Psalms 40, verse number 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He have put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. And one of the things that testifies and is a witness to others is when we're waiting for something for the Lord, we're resting, the Holy Spirit is helping us to rest, and we're relaxing, and people are looking at you, why aren't you bothered about this? This is big. Why isn't it bothering you? Why aren't you? And this starts testifying to them of God's goodness and God's mercy. Amen? So he says that as we're waiting, we're to rest in him, we're to relax, but also we are to rejoice. To rejoice. I love what the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 25, verse number 9. He says, and it shall be said in that day, this is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him, we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. You know, and salvation. You know, sometimes we are looking at salvation as something when the Lord returns and we get to go to heaven. But salvation is life now. Jesus said, I came to give you life in the abundance thereof. So when I look at salvation, salvation means to be healed, body, mind, soul, and spirit. It's an all-inclusive. Amen? So I don't know about you, but I'm rejoicing. I'm rejoicing because I'm whole. I'm rejoicing because he has made me glad. Has he made anybody else glad? Amen? I know that no matter what happens or no matter what I face, that he's got my front, he's got my side, he's got my back. Amen? And with my God, there is no lack. Amen? So when we're looking at this, first he says, hey, we need to allow the Holy Spirit, our helper, to help us to rest, to help us to relax, but to help us also to rejoice in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of the trial. The apostle said, we glory in the tribulation. Amen. Are we here? Are you hearing what the Lord's saying? Amen. Secondly, as we find the word is eternal. It is eternal. It's eternal. In Mark 13, Jesus said this in verse number 31. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Wait a minute. Now, come on. The Holy Spirit wants you to get a hold of something tonight. Listen to me. In an ever-changing world in which we live in, there is one thing that is constant and remains the same. His word never changes. This is the only steady thing in a world that's full of chaos and confusion. God does things decently, and he does them in order. And he wants us to understand that we have something that can bring us stability. He's given us his word. He's given us his spirit to help us to keep it and sustain us through it. Amen? So, and when we're looking at this, that his word, secondly, it's explosive. They're fine. They're kids. I was a child once, and then I grew up last week. In Luke chapter 4. Luke 4. Verse number 32. The Word of God says, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. You know, I don't know. I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful. I go into situations where there's death and there's demise, and I speak the word of God and things in the atmosphere change right there. Amen? That there's power in this word. And if we would have revelation and understanding how much power there is in the word, we would meditate upon it. We would study it. We would get it inside. We would memorize it. I don't know about you, but I don't always have my Bible handy when I'm in battling with the adversary. Wait a minute, Satan, I got to get my Bible. No. The psalmist says, I hid your word in me that I would not sin against you. In other words, I know how to respond because of God's word. And he wants you to understand that it's a powerful weapon. When he says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or in the natural, but they're mighty through God for pulling down every stronghold, casting down every imagination that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, and bringing under captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, it's all by the word. He sent his word and healed my disease. He is the Lord, my healer. You know, and where if it's in your body or if it's in your mind or if it's in your soul and in your spirit, the word brings healing. The word brings restoration. The word brings reconciliation. Amen. One thing that you're going to find about Greatest Freedom Ministries, this is a word house. Amen. It's all about his word. Amen. So his word is not only eternal, it's explosive. But it's also expressive. Expressive. In Revelation chapter 3, verse number 10, well, why don't you stop messing with it? You done broke the pen. This was a brand new pen. This came from Tiffany's. Where's the pen dust? Dusty. I have to give you one of the concrete pens.
Yeah, this one can't. This one's not breakable. You can't mess with the thing. Push it in and out. There you go. Hallelujah. You know what else? In Revelation chapter 3, verse number 10, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. And Revelation is a challenge to the church. The letters are written to the church. They're not written to the world. They're written to the church, the seven churches, the church at home. And in verse number 10, he says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Amen? Amen? So, in other words, when what the Lord is saying to you and I is when we keep the word keeps us. Hello? That's pretty cool, isn't it? So I'm thankful that he's keeping me, that I don't have to go through some of the things. And then, when I've been through some great trials and tribulations, and I'm sitting there and I'm praying before the Lord and saying, Lord, oh, Lord, Lord, why me? Oh, why am I going through this? He's always growing something in us. But the Holy Spirit showed me what the Lord prevented me from going through. And when I saw what he prevented me from going through, I could rejoice in what I was going through. Hello? Sometimes we miss what God has kept us from going through because our eyes are on just what we're tested with. And God said he'll never allow more on you than you can bear. There'll never be more on you than you can bear. Now, you have to understand, it's if you're trying to bear it on your own strength or in his strength. Because in his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Amen? So in other words, I've got to be resting in the Holy Spirit. I've got to use this guy that God's put inside of me. Amen? In other words, I've got to be praying in the Spirit. I got to be praying with my understanding. Amen. And you know, the devil doesn't know that language. Sometimes I got to pray in the Spirit so I know how to fight the adversary. Amen. And then the Lord gives me words, and the words that I speak are speaking directly to the devil. Amen. So he says we have the waiting, we have the word, but we also have the witness. Jesus told his disciples in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, he says, behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high, the power. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. In other words, as we're waiting, we're believing God on his word, and through his word, it becomes a witness by the Holy Ghost, his power. Amen? You know, God wants us to understand. You know, the Old Testament prophets, they had the Spirit of God upon them. But it's quite different that we are even should be going and taking it further because we have the Spirit of God in us. And he says, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he shall quicken your mortal body by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. In other words, we recognize the one in us, and the one that's in us is greater than the one that's out here. Amen? So there's power. And there's the promise in Acts chapter 5. Are we getting anywhere in here tonight? In verse number 32, the apostles, they say, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so it is also the Holy Ghost who God have given to them that, what? Obey him. Jesus said, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Okay? Thy will be done. Amen? Not my will, but his will. Amen? In other words, what that takes for us to do most of the time is change our direction or change our minds. So we have the power. We have the promise of his word. But we also have the prophecy. The prophecy. You know that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The man of God or woman of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. But he says in verse 19, the apostle says in 2 Peter 1:19, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. In other words, the men of God didn't speak this. This was spoken by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." You know, and I believe to simplify this, what the Lord is saying to us, if we're going to be children of God and we're going to trust God, we got to trust his word. And his word dominates or overtakes anything the world has to say. Amen? This is the steady thing that we have. So he says to us tonight, in this scripture reference, that I wait for the Lord, my soul doeth wait for him, wait, and in his word do I hope. We have the waiting to rest, to relax, and to rejoice. We have the word, it's eternal, it's explosive, it's expressive. We have the witness of his power, of his promise, of the word of prophecy. So the closing statement is this: as we wait upon the Lord, we react to his word in faith, being a witness to a lost and dying world, which he came to bring life to. Amen? God is desirous for none to be lost, but that all would come to a saving knowledge. Amen? So as we're looking at this, we're rejoicing in tribulation, because tribulation brings us patience, and patience brings us experience, and experience brings us hope, and hope makes us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. God wants us to know that we're going to go through times of waiting. But as we're waiting, we trust him at his word. And as we're trusting him at his word, we become a witness to others. Amen? So can we all just stand? I love your dress. It's so cute. Can you stand with me if you can? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Can we lift our hands? Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for every man, woman, and child that's in this room tonight, Father God. I thank you, Father God, that you sent your word here to accomplish something in every heart and every life. That you ministered to everyone someplace, Father God, and that you didn't leave any out, Father God. So, Father God, I pray, Father God, Spirit of the living God, breathe on that word. Blow on that word that was sowed in the hearts and lives tonight, Father God. And may we produce fruit, Father God. And may the fruit remain, that whatsoever we ask you in your name, that you give it us, Father God. So, Father God, I speak divine favor over each and every one that's in this room tonight, Father God. I thank you, Father God, that those that are waiting for you, Father God, that are anticipating, that are in a place of expectation, Father God, that you meet them. Holy Spirit, meet them right where they're at tonight, Father God. Minister the word to them right in that place where they're at, Father God, that they may be a witness, they may witness to them, and that witness be to others, Father God. I will never forget or never cease to give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise, Father God, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Now be with us, Father God, as we fellowship together, as we dine together, Father God. May you be glorified even in that, Father God. It will never cease to give you glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen.